I think all of us have seen these signs sometimes along the road. This has been a while ago now, but there was a lost dog, and the people that was looking for the dog put signs out on 90. And it was lost for quite a while, but every time we would go by, we'd see this sign. Well, there's one sign that said, Beagle, 12 pounds, black and brown and white, 2 years old, his name is Barnabas. How many of us had lost a dog or an animal or something like that? And how many of us feel sad when we look at those little posters along the road and realize that somebody had lost an animal, whether it's a cat or a dog, and they're looking for it? I think the first thing all of us think about is the hope that that little dog or cat can be found. You may think of a child, maybe, who was lost, or an owner who was in tears, and you hope that they're safe and that they're going to come to no harm because you know they're defenseless and small, whether it's a dog or a cat or a child. I think every one of us, especially grandparents, when we take our grandkids to the store and they're with us and we look around and they're gone, you get that wow feeling in your throat. Because I think everybody's greatest fear is to lose something or someone that he or she dearly loves. There was on the news the other day, somebody was proposing to his soon-to-be bride, and he was down on his knees, and they were on a boardwalk someplace, and when he was getting ready to put the ring on a finger, he dropped it, and it went down through the boardwalk. You might lose an engagement ring, and you might be then devastated by the loss, looking everywhere for it, because you know it costs a lot of money, and it holds some relational and sentimental value to you or the person that you're going to present it to. Or maybe you will rejoice finding a family heirloom like you going through some of your daughter's things and bringing back a lot of those memories, rejoicing. Or you have a child that may cry rivers of tears on the loss of a stuffed animal. I don't know about your granddaughters, but I know we got a granddaughter. When she loses one of them stuffed animals, I mean, she is. But all of these things comparison to losing somebody that was dear to you, like Linda's mom or any of our moms or anybody that is dear to us. And we need to think about how many that we can recall in the sense of panic when you're, as I mentioned, in a store, looking around, and you realize that your grandkid has vanished. But when you do find her or him, immediately you hold the child in your arms, and you never want to let him go. It's no mistake that in our scriptures today, Jesus is telling a triplet of tales. Now, we're looking at two of them right now, but the third one, the lost son, you know? It's almost like in baseball, he is hitting a triple. Unfortunately, only two of them was in the scripture that I read. We'll look at the other one later. But this is a whole way of including a lost sheep, a lost coin, and then later on a lost son. In the first account, one sheep wandered away from the flock and now missing. The shepherd leaves the rest of the flock to go and search for that missing sheep. We are all like sheep that have gone astray, by the way. And I think all of us would do the same. Perhaps maybe, and I know Diane does, she has a lot of kitty cats. Have 5 or 6 kitty cats at home. But if Fluffy the house cat accidentally gets out when you got those indoor cats and one happens to get out, it's a situation where you just stop what you're doing and you leave the other kitties and you go and look for it. Now, in Jesus' day, sheep were not pets, but they were a valuable commodity, and the shepherd held a responsibility for their well-being. Still, when you spend that much time with an animal, you get attached. You grow to know them. You know their personalities. You know their idiosyncrasies, and you know all of their wiles. But when your pet has been recovered, you do. You breathe a sigh of relief. Maybe even give them a little extra treat or pet them more than normal because you feel the joy of recovering them. Now, the second story is similar to the first, but it involves a missing coin. Obviously, it's an item of value. Now, we don't know if it was the denarius or any other kind of thing, but most likely it was a valuable coin. I was thinking about a penny that is valuable, 1909 DBD. That thing is worth thousands of dollars. We as kids, a friend of mine and I, we were coin collectors, and we searched all the pennies in the world to find that. We never did find it, but we know it's worth a lot of money. And you surely, if you lose it, you want to get it back. The recovery of that coin, or in the case of a commodity like a sheep, it's reason for celebration when you find it or get it back. But these don't compare to a human. Jesus was really tricky, if you would, not in a bad way, but very tricky in the way he told his parables. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. He was very tricky because the third story is about a loss, but this time it's about a son. Not a little boy missing in the supermarket, or a teenager perhaps, gotten into a bit of mess, who had bucked his parents, left home on his own, without any emotional maturity to do so. That's a great loss. Imagine with me for a moment that your teenage son or daughter, or perhaps a grandson or a granddaughter, has come to the age to drive. He or she takes the car one night and you get a phone call that no parent or grandparent ever wants to receive. By the way, this is Grandparents' Day. No grandparent or parent would love to receive that call that says there's been an accident on I-10. You rush to the place feeling the dread and the pit of your stomach, and thankfully you get there and you see the car is totaled, but the child is alive. The car is lost. Yeah, a lot of great deal of money gone. But how many of us at that moment are worried about the lost money or even the lost car? Most of us are not. And I don't think any of us really, truly down in our heart would worry about the car and the money if the child was safe. You would wrap that child in your arms as though you would never let him go. So, Jesus primes our pump by first telling us stories of the lost sheep and the lost coin, but he drives home his message with the story of the missing son. Listen to these similar words in Scripture. For God created all animals for all people. Therefore, by how much more precious is the creation of humans, so much greater is God's care for him. Look at the birds of the air. Are you not much more valuable than they? Matthew 6:26. Fear not. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Matthew 10:29-31. Now these stories are about value, particularly the value of human life. Even the Mark of Cain assures us that no matter what evil we have done or consequences we might face, God values our lives and wants to keep us from harm. So it's clear, when we go missing, God's primary focus is to search for us, or sometimes wait for us, which he did for me, thanks be to God. But there's also the difference that we see in these three stories. In the first two stories of the sheep and the coin, the owner searches frantically for them. But the story of the son, the father, sadly lets him go. Oh, he worries about him, but he lets him go. But he longs for his return and celebrates when he comes back. That's an entirely different story. You see, one of God's greatest gifts to humankind is the gift of freedom. That's what makes America so exceptional. Not that we're better than anybody else. We're exceptional because we celebrate and rejoice in the freedoms that we have in this country. The gift of choice, the discernment, self-motivated loyalty of learning. Yeah, well, a coin cannot return to us on its own, and a sheep can't come back as well. We can, though, and God hopes that we will return. Much as a parent hopes that his or her teen will survive the hormone changes and the dangers and the temptations of being young and inexperienced and growing into adulthood. Unknown and sometimes to the misleading world, trusting in the child's ability to learn and grow from experience, stability, and the roots. God hopes the same for us. So in a sense, God raises us up in faith to love, to dream, to hope, and to rely on God's guidance with wisdom. It doesn't mean that we'll never encounter a challenge or a difficulty, and it doesn't mean we'll never run into trouble or danger. But God lets us know that Jesus is always there. The Holy Spirit, sometimes we confuse it with our conscience, but he said he would never leave us nor forsake us. So he's always there. And if we stray or worse, find ourselves lost, the Holy Spirit will offer to guide us, and the Father will welcome us home as though we are the greatest prize and the most valuable and cherished things in the world, and you are. So today, a day of celebration. We celebrate the year of the church and our business activities and celebrating our ministry and celebrating recovery from COVID in a lot of different ways. It's a day of celebration. But for you and I, just to know that we're dearly loved. And it doesn't matter where we've been or no matter what we've done or where you are now or where you think you might be. God adores you. And he will always welcome you home.